Bhagavad Gita as it is, fourth chapter, entitled Transcendental Knowledge, text number 39. Sarva labhate jnanam tatpara samyatindriya jnanam labdha param shanti achire nadigacchati. Very good. Sradavan, a faithful man, labhate, achieves, jnanam, knowledge, tatparaha, very much attached to it, samyata, controlled, indriya, senses, jnanam, knowledge, labdhya, having achieved, para, transcendental, shanti, peace, achirena, very soon, adigacchati, attains. A faithful man who is dedicated to transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses is eligible to achieve such knowledge, and having achieved it, he quickly attains the supreme spiritual peace. Purport. Such knowledge in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by a faithful person who believes firmly in Krishna. One who is called a faithful man who thinks that simply by acting in Krishna consciousness he can attain the highest perfection. This faith is attained by the discharge of devotional service and by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, which cleanses one's heart of all material dirt. Over and above this, one should control the senses. A person who is faithful to Krishna and who controls the senses can easily attain perfection in the knowledge of Krishna consciousness without delay. Sradavan, to be faithful. Srat. Srat refers to that which is heard, or transcendental knowledge. Sabda. Sabda is perfect transcendental sound coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tat Srinu. That which is heard. Srat. Sada. Da, to fix on the absolute truth which has been heard, is the etymological meaning of the word srada. We cannot just develop srada on our own. No one can independently develop faith. There is no such thing. That faith just comes. I just believe it or I just don't believe it. It doesn't work like that. Because faith develops simply by association and taste. Someone who will connect us with transcendental sound vibration, and someone who experienced taste can transmit this taste. It is stated in the Sri Chaitanya's Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that the prema bhakta, the devotee who is overwhelmed in spontaneous love of God, such a devotee who is simply absorbed in remembering Krishna 24 hours a day in the greatest ecstasy, always feeling the greatest separation of the Supreme Lord, such devotee can uplift any conditioned soul to the same platform as where he is. Is that any devotee who is in the deeply absorbed in bhava, in experiencing emotional ecstasy while serving Krishna, such a devotee, in sharing his bhava, can bring a devotee, a conditioned soul, to the stage of ruchi. And a sadhaka, one who is practicing devotional service and trying to follow the process of devotional service himself, but is not perfect and still has material desire within the heart, such a practitioner can at least give faith to a conditioned soul. So it is explained how different Vaishnavas can give different levels of benediction. So faith is a gift. It is not something that is attained by our endeavors. Faith is mercy, somehow or other. Like, we attained some faith in the Holy Name, at least I did, when I heard My Sweet Lord coming out of the radio, when George Harrison was chanting it. Well, I guess then you were not a total fool if you were chanting Hare Krishna. Maybe then the world wouldn't laugh at you after all, right? Because I was always thinking that the idea to be seen with the Hare Krishna and the consequences that would have in your life, and how many people would be talking about it and so on, the stigma that you would have, I thought, forget it. I'm not even going to look at these people, right? Interested or not, interesting or not, I'm not going to be seen with them. Because who wants social harassment? But still, if something breaks through that wall, just one person, in my case, George Harrison, made it more acceptable, then maybe it was not so extreme. Maybe there was something to it. Maybe it was okay to chant. Not that I did it then, but at least my faith had grown simply because George Harrison was chanting. And in this way, our faith can grow simply because of someone else. If we meet a devotee, and suddenly that devotee becomes a person, a nice person actually, instead of some extremist, it changes everything. One human exchange with a devotee can open up a whole universe. That's all it takes. All it takes. Generally speaking, most people are not convinced by great philosophy. Most people are convinced by a person, by someone who seems to be genuine, and at the same time then is into Krishna consciousness, and at the same time then is also knows philosophy and so on. Some may be more philosophical than others. And some join Krishna consciousness because of halva, and others are joining Krishna consciousness because of deep philosophical conversations about the difference between Mayavad and bhakti. Again, others are totally overwhelmed by the sight of the deities. It's hard to say what will spark off the initial faith in a devotee. But somehow or other, faith is related to taste. Without taste, no faith. Even the strongest faith, if there's no taste, it crumbles quick. It breaks down very fast. Taste is the principle that strengthens our faith. It is through taste that we are becoming more and more strong in our spiritual life. Otherwise it's difficult. No taste, no faith. Not very much. Even we hear the Bhagavad Gita many times, but if the taste is not coming, then after some time, just, I don't know, but I just, it's just not for me. I just can't do this. So taste is the key. So somehow or another, taste in devotional service is coming down. It is coming down through the Vaishnavas. It is coming down to those who have tastes, just like Prabhupada conquered the entire world on the strength of his ecstasy, on the strength of his taste, on his incredible taste for chanting Hare Krishna, made it such an event. When Prabhupada settled in New York and opened up his storefront, Matchless Gifts, and a few days a week had chanting sessions there, then they were very intense. Because when Prabhupada was chanting, it was deep. The concentration was very deep. His face, his eyes were closed, and his whole being was in every mantra. And that's why everyone else also got into it. And with the same intensity, people closed their eyes and sat and heard that mantra and chanted it. And therefore these kirtans were very meaningful. So it is the intensity that a person displays. And because Prabhupada had so much taste in the chanting, he transmitted that taste to the others. And they did not get the same taste Prabhupada had, but they also got some taste from the intensity of the chanting. And in this way, taste is coming from a person. It is from the devotee. From the devotee who is engaged in devotional service, it is there. And it can be tasted everywhere. It can be tasted in whatever is cooked. Right? We can cook, we can taste the difference between the cook who just puts so much energy to make nectar. Then, phew, it's just amazing. When Mother Sachi was waiting in the house of Advaita Acharya, Nimai had taken sannyas. Nimai had left, but fortunately, Nityananda had promised that he would bring Nimai to the house of Advaita Acharya. All the devotees were waiting there, waiting to see Nimai at least one more time. And finally, when Lord Chaitanya arrived there, then quickly they sent someone to the house of Mother Sachi to bring her to Shantipur, and she came in a palanquin. And then Mother Sachi cooked for Nimai. She knew it was going to be the last time. Because he took sannyas, he was not going to come back to his family. But so she cooked for him the last time. And therefore she put everything she had in each preparation, making it like the best she ever made it. Then she offered that to Nimai. And whatever remnants were there, the devotees were going mad. They had never ever tasted such prasadam. Never ever had there been such ecstatic prasadam that with every bite the devotees were just overwhelmed by ecstasy. Because it is the devotee that is revealing Krishna to us. The devotee through his bhakti is revealing Krishna to us. The pujari is not just dressing the deity like a doll in some shopping window. But the pujari is with devotion trying to enhance Krishna. Then the bhakti is speaking to us and reveals the glory of Krishna. Just like in some temples in India, they're not really worshipping the deities. They have deities, but they don't worship them. They just sort of very little. And then they don't offer any prasadam, any bhogas. They just have these little sugar balls. Not seven offerings a day, just little sugar balls. I won't name some of these temples, but I know them. And it's just not the same. It's just not the same. Although there's a form of Krishna, although the deity is dressed, it's not the same as in a temple where the deity is worshipped with great devotees, and where all, great devotion, and where all the devotees are very eager to worship the deities. Like in Jaipur, the Govindaji temple, right? People are so eager. Govindaji even has a watch, because in India, if you don't have a watch, you don't count. Yeah, you must have watch. You are a nobody if you don't have. So he also has watch. Yeah. So like this, of course, the best watch for the Lord. Everything the best for Krishna. In this way, we see the bhakti. Right? The bhakti is the best for Krishna, and then that bhakti comes back. We see how the devotees, with great enthusiasm, chant and dances, and that comes back. That comes back in taste. When the devotees are chanting and dancing with great enthusiasm, then a taste is there, which anybody can sense. It doesn't matter. Anybody who walks into the room is seeing, like, what's going on here? What is this? These people are having so much fun. What is it? Where does this come from? How are they having so much innocent fun? Right? Just, it's very innocent, and it's just, it shocks the heart, it touches the heart, it gives some taste to the heart. This is how taste is being transmitted from one devotee to another, and this is how faith is actually being generated on the basis of taste. Therefore, it is said one is getting faith through the association of the Vaishnavas, through the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And then one becomes an addict, a total addict to serving Krishna, a total addict to chanting the holy name, and a total addict. And one can go on for hours. Last week I did the same tune, but we did it for 3 hours, and people said, that was a long time. So, it wasn't so long, it was too short actually. It was far too short. They were just warming up, really. It was not really, it wasn't really going anywhere yet. Yeah, it's just sort of scratching the surface. In this way, one becomes an addict. Ramananda Roy was famous for discussing about Krishna. So one Brahmana, Prajumna Mishra, went there, and when Ramananda Roy began to talk to him about Krishna, Prajumna Mishra asked many questions. And as Ramananda Roy was explaining, the whole day went by, and in the evening a servant came and said, the day is over. And they said, what? The day is over? But we haven't even gotten into it yet. And they had been talking the whole day, questions and answers about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. The whole day had gone by. It is all going on by taste. Right? All going on by taste. So, without taste, there's no way to be a devotee. Yeah. So, how to get this taste? What if we don't have any taste? What if we are here and we don't experience taste? Or very... Then I would first of all say, come on, don't be so tough. Admit it to yourself. Admit it, come on. You have some. Yes. Some taste you have, for sure. Definitely. Admit it, come on. You're going soft. Yes, yes, you are melting. Little taste you are heavy. Me? No, not, I feel nothing. Absolutely nothing. Then why are you here? Just out of curiosity. Why here? Why not in a football stadium? Why curious here? Why not curious somewhere else? Curious here, some taste is there. So, let us go on with that. Let us continue with that taste. Whatever you like, whatever attracts you the most, go for it. Whatever it is, get into it. So this is something in Krishna consciousness. We follow taste. We follow our taste. But then there is another taste. A taste to, for once in our life, do something that is asked without getting anything in return. No money, nothing. Nothing, no profit. And just do it. Just do it. And do it as nice as you can. Just for Krishna. And then see what happens. This is bhakti. When we make a special endeavor, 1 year, it was the month of Kartik was approaching, and we were in Vrindavan temple. And that year, some devotees had a plan to make a very special play. And it was a big play of Govardhan. And for that purpose, they had made a very, very big painting of Govardhan. And they were going to wrap that painting of Govardhan around the tree in the courtyard of Vrindavan. And then they had strings attached to it. And then some boy dressed up like Krishna would come, and then they would lift the painting by strings, and Govardhan would go up in the air. This was the plan. Yeah. With thunder and water effects also. They had guys with hoses on the roof, and they were totally ready for it. Yeah. Everything. However, so they had already rehearsed it a bit, but not yet with the painting. And they painted that painting on the roof of the Gurukul building, a huge big canvas painting. So they had to carry it down, but when they had to carry it down, they realized that it was quite heavy actually. So someone said, why don't we just throw it off the roof? Right? So someone else said, that's a great idea. Right? So they threw it down the roof, and then they carried this big oil painting into the temple. And it was evening time, and we were just in the middle of Damodarastika. Namam Viswaharam Satsi Ananda Rupam. Everyone offering little flames, very devotional. And then they were gonna hang the painting. So they opened it up, and they're pulling with ropes, and all the paint had come off the canvas. And it was all fine dust. You cannot imagine how much. And all that fine dust came out of that painting like a cloud of smoke, like rolling through the temple. It was like from bottom to ceiling. And we were all looking, seeing these big clouds coming, rolling at us, covering everything. And after it was over, at one point we were in a cloud of fog, and then finally it settled. There, everything was covered in 20 centimeters of dust. The whole floor, there was this much dust. The whole temple, from head to toe, from top to bottom, covered in dust. It was quite a drama. And I was the temple commander, which meant I was responsible to get it clean again. Which was something else. So, not only that, the GBC at the time said, and I wanted, within 24 hours, I'll go to Delhi, and if I come back tomorrow, it's got to be clean. What an endeavor. So, we mobilized 100 men, right? And it was a whole Gundicha temple cleansing, right? Where everyone was brooming and getting all this dust out, and finally we had hoses, many hoses, and hosed down everything from top to bottom, and somehow or other rivers of water were flowing out of that temple. And then we got so fired up, then we washed everything, the whole floor, with rose water, right? And the whole temple was. And then we lit sandalwood incense at the end. And then that scent of rose water was mixing with sandalwood. And the atmosphere was Vaikuntha. And when that was done, right, it was such an endeavor, such a yajna to get that done. that after that we experienced the greatest ecstasy. Not only was the temple Vaikuntha, we were there as well. Right? We were also in Vaikuntha. So this is the nature of devotional service. So once one actually gets into doing some service, then some special taste comes. When one actually, in the beginning one may not know about how to actually do service, but there are devotees who are telling us, no, not like this, for Krishna everything must be very special. No. You can't sweep the dust in the corner, no, you have to actually take it out, and so many things like that, right? For Krishna, everything has to be perfect. And just to be with these devotees who try to make everything perfect for Krishna, one begins to also try it a bit, and then after a while it's really something, you know. Because you don't usually work like that, you know, like I used to work in my holidays sometimes in the post in Holland, and then I had to sort out mail. In those days it was by hand, and there were like many bags hanging in a rack, and then you were just standing there throwing mail in different bags. It came in bundles, throwing bundles in bags. And I was getting quite good at it, you know, really good at it. Super fast, so it's getting, the sport was to be faster all the time, and it had to really throw also quite good, so it was a great sport. And then one day this big guy came to me and said, "Listen, mate, slow down." And I go like, "What? You're working too fast. Slow down. We don't want that here. You got it? And I had a good look at him, and I think I got it. He was big. And it's quite amazed, right? How the standard was simply, we don't want to work so hard. Yeah? We want to take the money, but we don't want to work too hard for it. Yeah? So you're spoiling it. Yeah? And how everyone is in that mood. You know? You do it for the money. You don't try to do a good job. How many people at work are surfing on the web all day? Yeah? It's a well-known fact. Now many companies are trying to put in all kinds of filters to block the people from going to all over the web, you know, just so that they can't play all day. How many people just empty out the office, all the pens, everything, go home? You go to their home and the whole house is filled with pens from their work and things, right? Just to take something extra from the job. So when you come first in devotional service and everything is simply for Krishna and it's got to be the best and you got to give everything, you've never ever done it in your life, and it's a liberation. It's just something like, wow, it's like almost like being a child again, you know, like being pure again, right? Being sincere again, right? After many years, a little sincerity. And it's such a liberation to feel a little bit of sincerity, real sincerity. And in this way, the taste of serving Krishna is the taste of purity, the taste of actually being pure and not corrupt, the taste of no show, the taste of being real. And that taste is so nice that you can resist it. And in this way, our faith develops and we chant Hare Krishna and our faith increases and we serve Krishna and our faith increases and we are with devotees and our faith increases. And in this way, we become thoroughly convinced and day by day our faith increases. Until we don't care about anything anymore, and just Krishna is important, and who cares whether he lives or dies? Krishna is what counts, right? Who cares, rich or poor, whatever we have, we offer it to Krishna, right? Whether it is gold or whether it is just simple, doesn't matter. We offer whatever we can all the time, Krishna only. Then faith has started to mature. Then one becomes, one develops ruchi, deep taste. When faith is mature, it's known as nista. When faith is mature, at the stage of nista, it is known as firm faith, determination. Then that faith cannot be broken by anything. Nothing can touch it. Then it is faith that is based on experience. At that stage, it's not that I think God exists, I believe He exists. No, then it's I know He exists. How do you know? Because I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing the greatest ecstasy in His service. What is the doubt? He is revealing Himself to me. Then one goes on and serves Krishna with deep taste. And soon one's attachment to Krishna will grow stronger day by day. And gradually one cannot live without Krishna, without a moment. Avyakta kalatvam, and cannot waste a moment without Krishna. And Namasadagana, chi. Now one is always absorbed in chanting the holy name of Krishna. And at this stage, with great taste, because one knows the name is Krishna. And then love of God will very soon develop in its full-fledged form, and the perfection is attained, and one attains full faith in Krishna consciousness. So this is how our faith is gradually developing to the platform of pure Krishna consciousness. Any questions or comments? What are the factors that influence our taste? It appears that sometimes our taste comes and other times goes, and how can we maintain such faith that seems to be disappearing? Two factors. One must keep on drinking. One must constantly drink the nectar, all the time, never stop. Even when the head gets tired, still go on. Pimata Bhagavatam Rasamalyam, we must drink the nectar of the topics of Krishna. That must be there. We must chant, we must hear, we must hear, we must chant. Sravanam Kirtanam Jalam Sichanam. Without watering the seed of bhakti with hearing and chanting, it will not grow. That is one thing. And then one must guard that creeper of bhakti with offense against the offenses. Offenses must be avoided also. We must be careful, yes, to avoid offenses against the holy name, against the devotees, against the deities, against the scriptures. We must be respectful. We must realize that there is something holy in this world. See, I don't know where you're from, but where I'm from, if there's something holy, you kick it. Anything's got holy on it, take your boot, and put your boot on it. That's where I'm from. And so if there's something holy, then we've got to be cynical about it. We've got to laugh about it. We have to mock it. We have to somehow or other belittle it. We have to be gross about it. Anything, But being respectful. So to avoid offenses basically means to develop a respectful attitude towards Krishna and anything to do with Krishna. To not just to be respectful to the deities, respectful to the message of the scripture, respectful to the holy name, respectful to prasada, respectful to devotees. Simply respect. And if we are just respectful to all these aspects of Krishna and what is connected to Krishna, then we'll avoid these offenses quite easily. Quite easily. No problem. And then by watering. So we must fence the creeper with the fence of respect. And then hearing and chanting about Krishna all the time. These days not so difficult because we've got high tech, you know. We can, everyone's got one of these little MP3 players, or at least a phone, right? Something that these days you can walk around with gigabytes. Right? It's amazing. Gigabytes of lectures. I mean, what you can have in terms of transcendental sound vibration just in your pocket, it's incredible. So no one can say, oh, that's so difficult to hear. Right? It's so difficult to hear. Oh, it's so difficult to put the earplugs in my ears. Oh, so hard to push the button. My finger is so tired. Yes.
If you make an offense,
ear is not good.
If you make an offense against the holy name or the devotee or the scripture or how you counteract the offense.
The holy name is very merciful. Because if you make an offense against Nam Prabhu, then that holy name will still allow you to chant again. Although you may not have so much taste when you make such offenses against the holy name. What happens if you commit offenses against the holy name? It takes away the taste for chanting. But if then you still keep on chanting, just because you realize you're doing it out of duty then again you will be purified from these offenses against the holy name. So this is the amazing thing. The holy name itself can purify us from offenses against the holy name. So one can, if one commits offenses against the deity, one can purify them by chanting the holy name. But if one commits offenses against the devotee, then one is in bigger trouble. Then one can only counteract that by asking forgiveness to that devotee. So this offense is most serious. So one must be careful to be respectful to the devotees. Because the devotees, they are the caretakers of the holy name, the caretakers of the scriptures. It's through the devotees that we will get the holy name, that we will get the scriptures. Because on our own, it will be very difficult to chant the holy name. And on our own, we'll never understand the scriptures. It's not possible.
If someone makes an offense against a devotee, forget what devotee is.
That's the story of Jagai and Madai. Madai said, I have offended so many devotees, but I was drunk. I can't even remember anymore what they looked like. I don't even remember who I offended, but I offended them. I know that. So what am I going to do? It was said there, you just serve the feet of the Vaishnavas. Right? And you chant the holy name. He was also recommended to bathe in the Ganges. then one can become purified. So for such offenses of which we cannot remember which devotee we've offended, then the chanting of the holy name and the service to the feet of all the Vaishnavas will rectify it. But if we know which devotee we offended, we must ask forgiveness for that offense. Otherwise, the taste will be taken away. And if when the faith is taken away, when the taste is taken away, our faith starts crumbling quickly, very quickly. So even although before we may have had strong faith, then our faith becomes weak and we start to get doubts. I don't know if I can keep on doing this. I don't know if I can maintain this position. And one may fall down. Anybody else? Hope so, yeah.
What does parayama mean? Or,
what is that? What? Parayana. Parayana. Parayana means to be absorbed. And rasa means absorbed in ras. Rasa parayana. Vasudeva parayana. Absorbed in Vasudeva. Narayana parayana. Absorbed in Narayana. Pure devotee of the Lord is Narayana parayana. Always absorbed in parayana. Narayana parasarve kutna kutascha nabibhyate swarga bhavarg narakesu apitulyapta darsina. And Narayana parayana doesn't care whether he's in heaven or hell. Apitulyapta darsina, he sees everything, every situation with equal vision because he's always seeing Narayana. He is Narayana parayana. He's always seeing Krishna. Rasa parayana, always absorbed in transcendental knowledge. Krishna himself, Kadambakana rasa parayana vindavipina vivasi. Krishna is always absorbed with the residence of Vrindavan, in the groves of Vrindavan, in the forest of the Kadamba trees. There Krishna is deeply absorbed in experiencing transcendental mellows, because not only the devotee is rasa parayana, but Krishna also is rasa parayana, because he's also absorbed in mellows. It's not that only the devotee gets ecstatic and Krishna sits there seeing, I'm so happy that you're getting ecstatic. You know, how nice. Yeah? No, Krishna himself is also getting ecstatic. He's also having taste. So both. Sadhanam ridhiyam mayam. Sadhavodhiyam mayam sadhanam ridhiyam taham. As Krishna is always in the heart of his devotee, in the same way, the devotee is always in the heart of Krishna. Both are always thinking of one another. That is rasa paraya, absorbed in transcendental knowledge. Rasa. That's the secret of the Dharma. The secret of this movement. The secret that Lord Chaitanya has brought here to Stockholm. In the darkest of the darkest.
What about? The faithful and the dedicated?
Yeah, in the verse it says those who are faithful and those who are dedicated,
yeah,
to this transcendental
ones.
What,
yes,
does that mean?
Yeah.
Because Faith is not cheap. Faith thus is not, does not mean lip service. Oh Krishna, I am so convinced that you are so wonderful. You are the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. All right, Krishna says. Krishna's quite practical. So he says, okay, that's nice. And what are you going to do for me to show that you are so overwhelmed? So through dedication, not only by sweet words, but by showing through our actions that yes, Krishna is everything for me. And Krishna will throw obstacles, and the devotee, somehow or other, no obstacle is too great. Nothing. The gopis, one obstacle after another, nothing could stop them. You just carry on. And in this way, showed that how determined they were to serve Krishna. So dedication means that we must become completely determined to give Krishna the very best. Even if the circumstances are unfavorable, still we carry on trying to give it the very best. That is dedication. And within that, we really show how much devotion we have for Krishna. And that's where our faith will be tested. Not in a big display of like that's nice, you know, folding the hands in dramatic fashion. There are so many varieties by which people come into the temple and slap their cheeks and pull their ears and so on. All as an act of devotion. And it's okay, it is nice. But someone who gives his whole life to Krishna, that means a lot more than dramatic show or dramatic display of our faith. That's why dedication is important here. It must show in action. Faith is not a sentiment. Faith is experiencing service to Krishna. It's there where it manifests. It's not that I feel so much faith. No, it's manifesting in service for Krishna. Then you will feel strong in faith. So Krishna consciousness is not a sentimental process, although it's all about sentiment. But it's not sentimental. Sentimental means that we just spend all our time going into the feelings. Krishna. But Krishna consciousness means we do everything we can to give the best to Krishna. And within that, the most ecstatic sentiments are experienced. See you again tomorrow.